the elderly and widows of the church, 1 Timothy 5, 1-16. Not only should the minister and the church members provide an atmosphere and a place to meet, an encouragement for all to get to know the Savior better day by day, and to understand the teachings of the gospel better, they also have a responsibility to help them in times of physical and personal need. Through no fault of their own, some members of the family of God find that circumstances have crowded them into conditions in which they do not have the wherewithal to help themselves. The elderly and handicapped, without children or relatives or close friends, find it increasingly difficult to get about, to church, to market, to the doctor. Those who have lost their jobs may find themselves temporarily in need of food and shelter. It is part of the responsibilities of the members of the church to try to ease the burdens of these persons who are part of their church family. Part number one, the youthful pastor and senior citizens, 1 Timothy 5, 1-2. Never sharply reprimand, rebuke, censure an elder, the apostle warned his son in the ministry. While it is true that Paul's word elder is used in this epistle to designate the minister or his assistant, most commentators have decided to render his term this time as an elderly man. This is done because in the next verse, Paul specifically mentions older women who should be tenderly treated by Timothy as he would his mother. The apostle is urging the young pastor not to pull his rank and authority and speak harshly with any older person, but to continue to plead with them respectfully, with pity, understanding. The younger men and women should be treated as younger brothers and sisters of the family. All who would advocate the principles of truth need to receive the heavenly oil of love. Under all circumstances, reproof should be spoken in love. Then our words will reform, but not exasperate. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, will supply the force and the power. This is his work. Christ Object Lessons 337. We should remember that the ability to rebuke constructively is a talent which everyone does not possess. Some have it, and their criticisms correct and build. Others indulge in their own exasperation and wound and antagonize. Some persons are able to set right those who are in the wrong in such a way as to leave everyone concerned happy and ready to go on with life with courage and hope. Others rebuke only to discourage and anger. Love, humility, compassion, understanding, pity, devoid of harshness, severity and rage, when infused by the presence of the Holy Spirit, build relationships, edify the church. In counseling younger women, Paul emphasized the need for the pastor to deal with the opposite sex with thinking only pure thoughts about them, as Taylor rendered Paul's word purity, that is, chastity or perfect propriety. Part number two. The relationship between men and women in the church. Timothy was to regard the elderly women in the church as mothers. This was in perfect keeping with the terms of the fifth commandment. All were to honor fathers and mothers, literally and spiritually. Paul especially mentioned widows who need tender regard in their loneliness. The young ladies should be treated as sisters with all purity. Ellen White has left this warning, which applies not only to pastors and elders, but also to men in the church generally. When one who claims to be teaching the truth is inclined to be much in the company of young or even married women, when he familiarly lays his hand upon their person, or is often found conversing with them in a familiar manner, be afraid of him. The pure principles of truth are not wrought in his soul. Such are not workers with Jesus. They are not in Christ, and Christ is not abiding in them. They need a thorough conversion before God can accept their labors. Evangelism 6:8. Part number 3. Widows in the Christian community. 1 Timothy 5:4. In most cultures in the world, children care for their elderly parents. In fact, it is often stated and always understood that one reason for having a large family is to ensure care in old age. Paul stressed that it was the God-assigned duty of Christian children to care for their aged parents and give them back some of the love and concern which the parents had shown by providing for them as children. Only in civilized societies, only during the past few decades of human history, have some children taken it upon themselves to institutionalize their parents in rest or retirement homes so they might be free to live their own lives. Today it is taken for granted by some enlightened societies that it is acceptable to rid themselves as individuals for the responsibility of caring for their parent, for their aged relatives, and agitate that the state or county or city bear the burdens of time and effort and money. Welfare is supposed to take the place of personal love and care. Elderly widows are particularly vulnerable when they are left to themselves by their relatives. Part number 4. Widows in the Christian community. 1 Timothy 5:4 and 8. In the early church, the need for specialized help was seen and immediately met. Deacons were elected to tend to the needs of Hebrew and Greek widows. Certain persons, invited because of their talents to take the resources provided by the believers generally, were to help the poverty-stricken widows, different ethnic groups. While the care for widows requiring aid devolves on their children and relatives, the new converts in Jerusalem, belonging to this class, had evidently been ostracized by their families for becoming Christians, and were therefore alone and destitute. Paul reminded his readers that if any children failed to provide for their own parents or relatives in their immediate families, when they were able to do so, they deny, repudiate their faith, and are worse than an infidel or unbeliever. Powerful, inspired words. What is Paul telling Timothy here? That there are certain economic, social responsibilities to members of the church community. There will always be poor in the world, Christ declared. The poor ye shall always have with you. There will be poor within the church. It is the responsibility of the church to supply the needs of the poor of their own members, rather than to worry about the poor of the world. When they have taken care of their own, then they are to spread their generosity as far as they are able. But if the widow is without relatives or kin to take care of her, she is a widow indeed, Paul says, a real widow, who is left by herself and desolate with no one to turn to, and has her hopes and prayers fixed on God. The members of the church are to take responsibility to support her. Christian Service, page 191, Ellen White says, I saw that it is in the providence of God that widows and orphans, the blind, the deaf, the lame, and persons afflicted in a variety of ways have been placed in cross-Christian relationships to his church. It is to prove his people and develop their true character. Angels of God are watching to see how we treat these persons who need our sympathy, love, and disinterested benevolence. But Paul was careful to exclude a class of widows who plunged into pleasure, self-indulgent, living in luxury, who are for all practical purposes really dead spiritually, although still living physically. Part number 5. Worthy and unworthy widows contrasted. 1 Timothy 5:9-16. Either directly or by implication, Paul has in mind widows in three stages of need throughout this chapter. The requirements of widows was the first area of Christian benevolence to be noted by the fledgling church in Jerusalem, Acts 6:1 and following. There were widows, Greeks and Hebrews. First order of need. Paul referred first to widows, old and young, who were supported by their relatives. Second category, widows, old or young, without living relatives, who were assisted by the church because they were alone and destitute. Third, widows, old or young, generally young, who were gossiping, self-indulgent, busybodies, not eligible for church support. Paul then clearly advised Timothy as to the qualifications of widows who should be registered, put on the list, enrolled as qualified for the assistance from the believers. They should be at least 60 years old, having been the wife of one husband, of good reputation for doing kindly acts to others, having brought up their children properly, shown hospitality to strangers, having taken care of the afflicted, diligently done all the good she was able to do, a regular participant in the ordinance of foot washing. Such a widow should certainly be helped by the church members. Now, as we analyze this set of criteria, we discover that this lady has, while she was able, done all that she needs to have done to her. She had shown hospitality, kindness, helpfulness, generosity. She had given to others when she had something to give. Now it was her turn to receive. She hadn't lived a selfish, self-centered, gossipy, ego-directed life. Because of the way she had lived, it was to be done to her again. But young widows should be excluded from the roles of the widows that should be invited to come for help, because they grow restive under the yoke of Christ. They wander from house to house because they are idle, not only unemployed, but tattlers, busybodies, ready to cast off their first faith, and by implication, marry out of the message. It's interesting to realize Paul's emphasis. These young widows had earned no support. They had not done anything. They were not doing anything now. They had made no contribution to the needy. And they should be left to the discipline of life. The others had done everything in their power. Their children had grown up and gone away or died. Their husband was dead. They had opened their home to strangers. And now they were participating in the services, the ordinances of the church, they should be considered eligible. It's interesting the reference that Paul has made to washing the saints' feet. Have you ever thought that foot washing should be made a measure of good membership, Christian living? What has it got to do with it? Well, foot washing is the symbol of the life of Christ. Like the communion, bread and wine is a symbol of his suffering, death, and baptism is a symbol of his burial and resurrection. Foot washing is a symbol of Christ's self-emptying service. Laid aside his garment, became a servant, took a bowl, filled it with water, took a towel, washed, dried. This is Christ's life, exemplified in the upper room, exemplified in Philippians 2. Foot washing memorializes Christ's life. And what Paul is saying, in effect, as he summarizes qualifications of a widow, she's washed the saints' feet. She's followed the footsteps of her master. Now, in her need, in her old age, she deserves our help and support. Summary. The principles which the apostle enunciated for Timothy are common sense and uncomplicated. They are but the carrying out of the revealed will of God in the Old Testament. They apply with equal validity to the family of Christ on earth today.